Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom on the With Insights Radio Network with your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Matheny, Katie Singeneagle. Sit back and relax, grab a sandwich, listen to some of the coolest hosts on the internet. Food for your soul, food for your heart. Now, on to the show. Welcome to Lunchtime Wisdom. I'm your host, Iggy Garcia, Mark Matheny, and Katie's on the telephone.
Hey, good morning.
So I want to welcome everybody to the show. Hopefully you're all having a good morning today. How are you, Mark?
Good. New moon this morning at 8:14 a.m.
Okay.
So good time to start new intentions and projects and whatnot, although do it today because Mercury goes retrograde tomorrow.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I saw a text on that.
Marking his retrogrades.
Or a post on that.
So we have, the sun just went into Aquarius early this morning, and then we had at like 4:44, and then at 8:14 this morning was the new moon.
The new moon.
And then tomorrow, 10:54 a.m., Mercury goes retrograde for 3 weeks until February 11th.
Very good. Very good. So we want to say hi to everybody out there and the internet, the International Space Station, the ether world, Mars,
and
wherever you listen.
All my wonderful friends in Langley, Virginia.
Oh, there you go. That's from Mark. Mark has, I don't know. What would you call yourself?
I would hope that I have a dedicated following at the CIA headquarters.
Yeah, tell them to send some donations to our radio station.
Right, yeah, how about, yeah.
That way they can keep you on.
Freeloaders.
Yeah.
How about sending some cash so like we can stay on the air?
Yeah, so we can stay around and do the work we're doing, right?
If you're going to spy on us, I mean, at least, contribute a little bit.
All right. Hey, that sounds good.
All right, did you see that Facebook post from Mary the other day about cryptozoology, Bigfoot, that they saw
Bigfoot
in Ohio?
Yeah.
I did not.
Well, they're claiming, some lady's claiming that she saw Bigfoot. Okay, so I'm assuming she only had one shot left on her camera because she only took one picture. And I'm assuming, if I saw Bigfoot, man, my camera would be full.
It would be like click, 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 click
those, you know, those farmer silhouettes that they cut out and they have them standing against trees and stuff and against
oh,
porches,
yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I'm talking about? That's what the Bigfoot looked like a little bit. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, because to me it looked like it just blended in with the trees.
Yeah, it just looked like it was one of those Bigfoot silhouettes that, you know, you might be able to... But this is a business for us, man. Bigfoot silhouettes.
I will try to... Yeah, I'll try to find that. Just on that subject, Ohio has... we're like third... in the U.S. as far as third or fourth as far as number of Bigfoot sightings. Also, the biggest hotspot in the United States of like the last 3 years is in Ohio.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I guess Hocking Hills a couple years ago has put a post out about Bigfoot to be cautious with Bigfoot and not to be careful. Yeah,
and so. It's actually the biggest hot he is down in that the whatever something power. Where the
you got a little cabana down there.
The
selling margaritas.
It's something. It's called something power.
Power.
It's
I'm
the.
Sure.
It's in the huge national forest down there.
The Wayne National.
Wayne National Forest.
Okay.
Yeah. There's an area called something. I had some friends.
Well, you can't hunt there, so.
Right. It's called something power, but that's.
Okay.
But that is actually not the big hot spot. The big hot spot is actually northeast of us. But it's had, like, the most sightings in the entire U.S. in the last 3 years. For one area.
Why was, you know, all the lands out in California, and all those areas are being excavated and moved, and people are building houses on mountainsides, and Bigfoot's like, you know, I got to go, man.
Right.
There's just too many people here, and there's going to be a mudslide here. I just don't want
my children even Bigfoot probably doesn't like the Fukushima radiation.
Yeah, probably.
Fukushima. from Japan or somewhere.
Yeah, from the.
Remember the nuclear power plant that caught on
fire?
It's
destroyed.
During the tsunami?
Yeah, it's pretty much destroyed the whole Pacific Ocean, the whole West Coast.
There's a hole in the earth, man. Right there. Coming out the other
end. Oh, yeah, and they said all the tuna and different fish that came out of that area are all radioactive.
Smells kind of fishy now.
I've even seen a lot of the big chefs and stuff that have TV shows saying that they won't use fish caught out of the Pacific there.
Have you noticed? I also read an article about chicken having arsenic. Like they use arsenic on certain commercial type chicken. So we can't eat chicken and fish now. So,
right.
You know, I guess the beef industry has corralled and the vegetable industry has corralled some kind of mechanisms to sell their products only to us people out here in the world.
Right.
I don't know. Everything sounds fishy to me right now.
Fishy.
Everybody's got something. Oh, you can't eat that, can't eat this.
I know. To me,
I don't know what we'd like to have two heads on me, you know,
right.
One Iggy on the one side, one Iggy on the left side. Hey,
yeah,
Iggy, what's up?
Everything will kill you.
Yeah.
Everything's GMO. Even they said the pot, I saw an article on Facebook saying pot is now GMO, so you can't even smoke that.
Oh, yeah, I don't, that, I mean.
Well, you know, the medicinal value of marijuana or cannabisia, whatever, I mean, there's some very big, you know, things that it has. But it also releases tar. Those people don't realize. Anytime you smoke anything, it releases tar into your lungs. It doesn't matter how good it's for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tar ain't good for you. Okay, so you have to use everything in moderation, and you have to find different ways to use it as well. You know, I'm neither an advocate or, you know, or non-supporter of it. I'm just saying that, you know, no matter what you're taking, be it good for you, bad for you, you know, or something from the earth, you have to use moderation in anything you use. But too much of one thing could, you know, make you really sick. You know, you take enough mushrooms, man, I'm sure you're going to have issues, you know. And if you're not hallucinating, you're going to be on the pot.
One way or the other.
Well, we're just setting ourselves up on this show.
We are.
Because even as a, like, medicinal.
That's all, folks. Show's over.
It is a good form of powder, you know, so, and it is a purgant. So it can purge stuff, even though it can purge things out of your system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way you can be on the pot, and on the pot.
So what do we talk about here on With Insights Radio? Well, we have different shows, and we cover a lot of different topics. But on Lunchtime Wisdom, we hope we give you some wisdom, because right now, I don't know if we are, but, and yeah, Lunchtime Wisdom's kind of geared just to talk about, you know, the day, a little bit of astrology, a little bit of sports, a little bit about the shenanigans we do, and so let's shift into the sports arena a little bit, Mark. Mark's favorite.
Topic. I am going to issue a warning right now for all citizens of the earth. If this newest New England Patriots cheating thing is correct, here's what I'm doing. I'm going to hold a 24-hour marathon radio show, and I will personally hire a crew of MIT graduates to make up new swear words for me. This will be the most insane monologue, diatribe, foul word rant in the history of the Little Blue Marble.
And hold that thought. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
So if I'm going to reserve until they investigate further, but if those SOBs have cheated their way into, they've already cheated in one Super Bowl against my favorite team and got caught doing it and got literally a slap on the hand, They also screwed the Raiders that one year on the fumble play where they actually changed the rule afterwards. If they have screwed a third team out of a Super Bowl appearance Super Bowl championship by illegally doing something, I will be frothing at the mouth at such a level that I will have to have for that radio show, I have to have a bucket and a trough and a medical team nearby, because I will be foaming and frothing at the mouth as I spew four-letter words for a consecutive 24-hour period.
And he's talking about deflated balls.
I am talking about Tom Brady and the deflated balls. I love, oh my.
Hold on, before you go to that thought, I have a question for you. Didn't both team plays with these balls, what would make the difference in a deflated the ball?
You could catch it because they played in a rainstorm the whole game.
It's easier
to catch. Would be easier to catch because the ball is hard to catch because it's so.
Did both teams have deflated balls or just the Patriots?
Yes, but no, both teams did.
Okay,
but
so we
you would change your game plan though, knowing that if you had a weather forecast, knowing that it's going to rain.
It was rainy and sleet.
Right. Okay. So if one team knew that they would be able, you know, they would. It's an advantage.
So you would say that Indianapolis didn't have the know that the balls were a little bit flatter, even though they probably touched it how
it
many times on the field.
It was a good game. I watched the whole game, and
right.
I mean, look, it was an ass kicking. It was a complete total ass kicking. Okay. I'm saying if the Cheatriots have cheated again,
you should see his face.
I'm just gonna let it all out.
I wanted the Colts to do it. The
Patriots screwed my team, the greatest offensive team in the history of football, out of a Super Bowl by illegally filming their practices, and they got caught doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was enough evidence that they actually got punished.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Even with that, we still came from behind and tied that Super Bowl with 2 minutes left.
I remember that. Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, it was just funny that the greatest offensive football team in NFL history, that it's like the Patriots knew every play we were running that game.
Jeez.
Not to mention they had an interception return for a touchdown, you know, and they got caught illegally. So they got away with that one with a hand slap.
Okay.
And then the Raiders game, the one year in the playoffs where Bledsoe fumbled and they didn't, you know, they reversed the call and then changed the rule the next year. So if they were caught cheating, and it's, you know why I don't like Bill Belichick and Tom Brady? It's the smarminess. It's the nastiness.
Okay.
Belichick doesn't want to give interviews after they lose. He is so much smarter than everyone else. And I should have brought the sports page. Like, there was a quote in a paper today. They asked him about the deflated balls. He goes, oh, this is the first I've heard about it. And they asked him, goes, this is what a DB this guy is. They asked him about it, and he goes, well, this is the first I've heard about it. And the reporter asked him, well, would it have an advantage on your team if that was it? And his response to that was, well, you're asking me a question, and I'm trying to answer it. That was his response to, do you think a team would have... And then Tom Brady gets up, and he's like, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Really? Your team was already caught cheating in one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that ridiculous? I mean, if it's never happened before, or it was another team 72 years ago that did it, okay, maybe a ridiculous comment or request. But your team was caught cheating in the frickin' Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And got busted by the league. So it's not that ridiculous a comment.
One thing I do hope is that the Seahawks are on their
I hope game. Seattle just...
Because I want them to kick the Patriots.
And let's not even... And
their deflated balls up and down the,
gridiron. And let's bring up, too, that the Patriots are up 45-7 and still have Tom Brady in with 3 minutes left in the game. They took him out with 3:20 left in the game when they're up by 38 points. I wish that I wish that dude would have got injured.
What I learned is that Indianapolis can't play with deflated balls.
No. Yeah, they use deflated balls because they have deflated balls. They're not men. They're not.
So who found the ball?
I don't even know who. I don't even
That's
know.
That's what I like to know.
I don't even know where.
I like
started.
To know where that even came from. Who even,
but it's serious enough, and
don't the referees
it's
check
serious
the balls
enough.
Before the game? They're supposed to. The refs are supposed to check the balls.
Sometimes
they probably just grab one and go.
I mean,
the TSA is also supposed to check every bag of everyone going onto an airplane. Too.
But they're supposed to check the balls. Now
check
you know we know
ball,
that did not happen.
Bags.
Homeland Security is supposed to check every truck coming over the border too.
Yeah, but you're talking about football, dude.
Right.
There's one big. There's a lot of money. A lot of money involved here.
They're paid to.
What did you just say? What
a lot
was your,
of money involved here.
There's
yeah.
a lot of money involved
money.
Here. What an interesting statement that is. What
you know,
an interesting
you
comment.
And I, you and I know that.
There's a lot of money involved
and I watched
here.
Games where calls were done by the refs that they
I
had
watched
to be
an Ohio State game where they had the ball was
paid.
Here and then they moved the against when we played right. Michigan State. They completely picked up the ball, moved it a whole yard over, and no one even said anything.
Yep.
Even the
it's
announcers saw it,
the
and they didn't even.
But and the thing
we did.
And the thing to remember too is in a game like that where it's a downpour every. I mean, they're going to go through 150 footballs in the game.
Right.
I mean, they don't throw them away, but I mean, they try to throw fresh balls
no,
in. Whenever.
They try to put fresh balls in there. You see how I set you guys all up on this
yeah,
one?
This is just going to go downhill.
No,
they
but
try to keep the
right.
wet balls away from.
The wet balls are kind of hard to hold on to.
They sure are.
And here goes the.
It gets kind of slippery out there, you know?
Right.
When you're kind of running around with them.
Right.
When someone's trying to grab that ball and you can't quite hold on to it.
Can't trust the chain gang with wet
but
balls.
When they're a little bit soft, you can kind of grab them. You know, you can hold on to them and catch them. When
right.
they're coming at you, hitting you, right at your face.
Right. If you've got wet balls coming at your face, then you probably really need to.
Well, that's the thing. When these wet balls are flying at you.
Have some good
you,
hands
you, you know?
To catch it.
I mean,
with.
If they're really hard, they're hard to hold on to
right.
in the rain.
And then you
if,
can have.
As soon as there's a little bit of moisture on them.
And if you can't hold the wet balls, then you've got wet stuff all over your face.
That's right. And we don't want wet
and
stuff
And that's
on
my
our face.
Point, really. Well, what's our record? We've been on the
You are listening to withinsightsradio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
Radio.com and withinsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
And welcome back to the Amtrak Hour, where 18 minutes in, we've had a complete total derailment.
That's part of life, you know. You have to
yeah.
enjoy it. You know, you can't just take everything so damn serious.
True.
Yeah.
I think I composed myself.
You can breathe now.
Yeah.
I was having a hard time breathing there for a second.
But if Brady and Belichick just didn't have such pissy. Smarmy comments.
He's
after,
a Michigan
and
guy.
They don't.
Who? Brady. He went to Michigan.
Oh.
Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah. But they just have, you know, such smarmy comments after. Even, and then, you know, they, I know there's a, they don't always, like, shake hands or give interviews after. Well, Brady will shake hands after the game when they lose. But Belichick doesn't have to. I mean, he just, if we lose, I don't want anyone asking me any questions.
That's good old Bill Belichick for you. He's still a coach for the Browns, isn't he?
Oh, dude, you know what? Here's okay. If you want to, God, I hate them. I don't, you know, I hate to push one step closer to the cliff. But yeah, do you know what? One, Bill Belichick was the head coach, and Nick Saban was one of their assistants. Like, oh my God, how many championship appearances at pro and college level between those two guys, and the Browns couldn't hold on to
you. You know, that's very interesting observation. I didn't know Nick Saban was on that
staff.
Wow.
Because I actually looked at it, because when I was doing my previews for the college football playoffs, I looked at it and I'm like, you know, where all his Saban coached at? I looked and I said, oh, he was on the staff for the Cleveland Browns. I'm like, really? Wow, I didn't remember that. And I went and looked up the Browns coaching staff for that. And it was like, and in fact, not only that, but there was like two other guys who were like head coaches too on that. That was like, that staff rivaled the, remember the Packers coaching staff when Brett Favre first came up, when they had like not Parcells. They had Mike Holmgren, who also was the GM for the Browns later on. But it was like Mike Holmgren, Chucky, coached Tampa to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And they had like five Super Bowl winning head coaches on that staff.
Yeah.
Well, Mariucci, who went to the 49ers and won a Super Bowl.
There it goes.
I mean, that staff was like a crazy. But like that Browns coaching staff was almost just as good.
A lot of it's just player acquisitions,
right?
And, you know, what you had in front of you, no matter how good you are. If you have a shitty bunch of guys that can't play.
Well, speaking of, God, the Browns fans are just going to murder
I love
me.
Browns. Don't get me wrong. I'm a Browns fan, but I think I love them because of that fact, that they just struggle so hard to do something that's very easy to do.
So Art Modell has passed away now, but you want to talk about one of the greatest screw jobs in the history of sports. Everybody knows that the Browns moved and became the Baltimore Ravens, and that's why that's such a hated rivalry. But when you look, if you remember back during that time, if you look further into that,
mm-hmm.
The Browns were not having that good of a year, but they were getting ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers at the end of the season. The Browns were only one game back of the Steelers, so this was for the lead in the division late in the season. And that day, right like 10 minutes before they went on the field, they came in and told the Browns that they were moving. Why would you, when you're about to go on the field for a game for the division lead, why would you, you know, because the players are like, okay, well, I've, you know, not only is the team moving, I have to sell my house, I have to take my kids out of their school,
yeah.
I have to, you know, why would you tell them that 10 minutes before the game that you've sold the team and you're moving it, unless you're wanting to tank, cash, C-A-S-H.
Johnny Manziel.
And so on that, that's one place where Belichick got screwed.
Because
he was the head coach when they...
Well, here's the thing. They probably knew that... Well, he controls a lot of game, you know, what happens on his team.
Right.
You know, if you're the owner, you're kind of the owner, you stay over there. Crafts, you stay over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is my job, you pay me, you stay out of my business.
Right.
And I think it was Art Modell was kind of like, he liked to be involved, and he was like pissed off about things. He was emotional.
Right.
Most owners are emotional anyhow.
Right, right.
Ask Kuba from the Mavericks. He gets fired.
Right.
Like every other game.
Right.
I want to wish happy birthday to some people here who listen to our show. I want to say happy birthday to Ricky, Sheridan, Christina, Danielle, James, Heather. Happy birthday to all of you. So
and
you know
happy birthday to my good friend Melanie out there, who I know has listened. I think she even called into the show a while back.
Very good. All right, I guess we're out of sports now.
Oh, by the way, just an FYI, I've set up around March 18th, I went in and I've set up a show for
mm-hmm.
you. Just as a reminder, we can flip the date or time if we mm-hmm. need to, because I know some other people are going to have some shows.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up.
What day is that fall on? That's a Wednesday or something?
That's a Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But I know some other people are going to start doing some once-a-month shows and
mm-hmm.
whatnot. But
yeah, they'll be like every second, third, and fourth. Like
so we need to, if we need to flip that date or time, that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
But I want to, Iggy and I are going to do a, and I guess if anybody else wants in too, we're going to do a NCAA basketball tournament preview using, I will use some astrology, and Iggy will use some of his insight and intuition and, you know, our sports knowledge to help you. Because I know a lot of people, even who don't follow basketball, fill out polls just because everybody fills out a bracket for... And a lot of, you know, my girlfriends actually usually beat me at these polls just because I just put so much... I overthink it and everything. Sometimes just being simple and going with your, you know, what your intuition says sometimes outweighs. But I've come very close to winning some very large pulls. But
I think there'll be some surprises this year.
That, as always.
As always.
As always.
Some surprises.
So we will, as we get into, I think it's, the tournament starts March 19th. So on like March 18th or sometime between that Sunday night and
there'll be a
Thursday when it starts, Iggy and I will do a show where we help you give our insights on the brackets once they're released and some of our final four picks and things like that. Yeah, right. Yeah. Gamble with your money using our picks at your own discretion.
Yes. Absolutely. That's good. Good advice. That's good advice from the universe. Oh, so what's going on in outer space, Mark? That's the way I like to call it.
The sun has just moved into Aquarius. There was a new moon in Aquarius. Yesterday there was a Mars-Neptune conjunction. And so we've really come through a lot of the more turbulent. My sweater's caught on my notebook. Through some of the more turbulent things here. Tomorrow, Mercury comes retrograde, so remember, from tomorrow at 10:54 a.m. through February 11th at 9:57 a.m., double-check your messages, make sure things are clear. Don't be surprised if you have some little mechanical and computer and phone and message glitches. So just kind of, it's Mercury retrograde is about inner communication. Double check, A, make sure you're communicating properly what you're feeling and thinking and the message you want to get across, and also follow up with other people on stuff and, you know, make sure messages are clear and that you've communicated exactly what you mean properly. So we really don't have any other, you know, now the new moon is a good time to start thing, and plus We've broken out of that Capricorn energy now, where we have a lot of Aquarius energy, which I am much more fond of. So things things are moving very quickly for a lot of people now, and so it's kind of that big jump energy. And so, but not a lot of overly. Our next big energy jump, our last big one was on. Like the 12th through the 15th. Our next big energy jump will be February 19th. So again, we're still at kind of these, like every 5 weeks or so, we have the big energy, there's an energy shift. And right now through February 19th, it's kind of status quo. You can kind of flow with this now that Aquarius energy is kind of up and down, a little turbulent, but it helps you break out of patterns and helps. It's good for starting new things and being innovative and doing things like that. So there's not any big tumultuous, you know, universal events between now and February 19th. So
that's good.
Now it's time to, you know, you can kind of work on things and get things going. And then the next big one after February 19th. is March 11th, so that's just a little bit under a month between those energy shifts. But now's a good. There's a lot of people moving around and doing stuff and putting plans in place. I see David's got a book he's working on. We got some new people going to have some radio shows or podcasts on the network.
I'm working on a book, book, and then I'm also working on some crafts for our Gift of Light thing coming up, so.
Yep, and I've got a new logo coming out and new business cards. I'll have a bunch, new website here shortly, and my guest on my show last week, Heather, redid hers. Iggy's redoing all kind the With Insights websites, and we're going to start putting up some blog stuff on there, and we're going to start having a lot more information on those.
Definitely.
And, you know, sharing our thoughts through different mediums and help it make it easier. Here's kind of what I'm saying. There's so much information and stuff out there, And it's like, I think the better we can simplify where our contact information and information is, I think it's a little easier for people to follow stuff. Because sometimes, because I know my stuff is scattered all over the place.
And I got to get mine out, my bio and all that good stuff. Because I need for you all to know where I'm at, and I'm easy to contact and talk to. And I go by donations also, so it's not anything hard on the pocketbook. So, and as most people know, I give information anyway. And I'm reading it, and I'm reading.
And she hit the balls too.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I like some nice, plump, hard balls.
We're talking about football here.
Yeah. I'm talking about football too.
I'm just joking.
Especially those tight ends.
Katie.
Our wide receivers.
Yeah, I'm sure they're wide. All right.
Don't hold your breath too long, Mark. We don't want you to pass out.
All right, guys. There's an anti-GMO movement going on in this country. I want to talk a little bit about it. It has come to my attention that now we are into the food source that we have helped grow, the GMO factor. We all know it's been there. We all know that it's been part of something that's been planned for a while. But now the food supply that was of old, that you know that we were growing without GMOs, are starting to dwindle, disappear now. They're almost gone. We've used that resource. It's gone, either through eating it or through loss, or maybe they just threw it all out. You know, and now we have GMO foods on our market, hardcore now. I mean, we're in the hardcore phase now of GMO.
Yes.
Where you can't go anywhere without it being in anything.
And it's been coming for a long time, because even some of the Outer Limits and the Twilight Zone shows have talked about, have had it in their shows since, what, the 1950s or whenever. I've seen, because I love those old science fiction shows, and they talked about GMOs in those shows and even in Star Trek. So it's been known for, what, 30 years now about what GMOs coming.
And it's also been brought to my attention that a lot of the people who are the 1%ers eat non-GMO foods. They specifically have, you know, things that come to them directly. And here we are, the general mass, the general public, gets to eat all the crap.
And you wonder why people are getting cancer. And kids aren't learning, and people are attention deficit. People didn't used to not be attention deficit and have all these problems where they have to be on all these drugs once upon a time. So that should say something to somebody about what's going on.
It's about the money, man.
All about the money.
It's about the top of the line.
Big pharma employed.
Keeping the stockholders happy at our expense. So how do we eat non-GMO? Or did you want to add anything to what I was brought up?
When it comes to this, to GMOs, vaccines, and even like the microchipping of things, even though the microchipping, all those may not seem to be connected, but I have a similar thought on all those that I always like to bring up, and because it's like with the vaccines. I mean, we know the autism rates and ADD and ADHD and whatever other combinations of initials they want to call it. As those have increased, it's been with the increase in vaccines, and in the, you know, there's more toxins in our water, more crap in our food. So one thing that doesn't get brought up, that I don't have the answer to this, but it's something that I always think about, is we know there's some bad stuff in the food, we know there's some bad stuff in the vaccines and stuff like that, but to me, what no one seems to be studying, or what is the long-term effect of the mix, not just what's in one food that's bad for you or what's in one vaccine. What's the cumulative effect of, what if it's some kind of a cocktail being made? Like, imagine if you're making an alcoholic, like a Long Island iced tea or something that has a lot of ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
So what if, instead of putting the five ingredients at once, what if you put one ingredient in, and then a little while later you put another one, and then a little while later you put another one. So, what's the combined effect of the bad things in all these vaccines they're trying to push, or all the different chemicals in these foods? We know individually, you know, this is in, you know, aspartame is in the yogurt and anything, a lot of stuff where they use artificial sweeteners. But what's the mix of the aspartame with the high fructose corn syrup and all this other bad stuff? What's the combined effect of the entire cocktail once it's mixed? Just like all the stuff that's in, you know, formaldehyde and all the crap that's in the vaccines and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Not only what's in each individual one, what do you get after, you know, years when you've had them all mixed together in your system?
Good question.
And the same thing with the you know, they thought people want you to microchip your pets, and there's microchips in your phone, and people are always like, oh, they can, you know, and, you know, fiber optics, which most people's TVs run on now, and the cable lines are fiber optic. They even admit that they can see out the other way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the thing, not only, right, because people are like, oh, turn, you know, you can turn your GPS off, and they can't track you and stuff, you know, turn your phone off, and they can't track you and whatnot. And it's like, I don't worry that much about that. It's not necessary. I'm not as worried about the signal going from here that's going out. But what kind of a signal, now that with the fiber optics and stuff, what can they send back to you?
Mm-hmm.
Not as much what signal is going from your phone out to there, but what can they send back?
True.
And that doesn't get brought up very much. But that's to me, that's more scarier. Not that they can track my car or my phone, but what can they send back?
Right.
That's why I try to,
you know,
unlog and turn off my computer when I leave home and don't have it flipped up, because who knows if someone, and I've seen people actually, I don't know, conspiracy theory or what, or paranoia, I've seen people put tape over their little camera on their on their computer, so they don't think anybody's looking back at them. Someone could be tapped in looking at you across the room. Because it's on movies and stuff. So sometimes people think that's, you know, who knows if that's true or not. So, you know.
That's the thing. We don't know. Well, and that's too. Okay, so if you look at the protests, a lot of the protests, and when there's rioting and, you know, the some protest groups and stuff that, you know, protest the WTO or the police, you know, when police have killed people and whatnot. So you notice a lot of times they're not using, you see it some, but you don't, they're not using the brute force a lot of the times to disperse crowds. They are, and you can go on YouTube and find this and watch videos of it and hear it, but they actually use sounds and vibrational frequencies, because a lot of times now when there's an event with a lot of people, you see these weird, like, police vans, and they have, like, radar-looking stuff on the antennas and stuff on the top of it. And I've seen where they've used those to disperse crowds by just sending, because our body is all just frequencies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So you can send out unpleasant sounds and stuff. And even if you remember, you know, the CIA's been doing that stuff for at least 25, 30 years, because there's actually some rock bands that have sued the CIA and the FBI and some other organizations because they were using their they did this at Waco.
Mm-hmm.
And some other scenarios where they've had, you know, a compound surrounded. They will blare music. And, in fact, that's how disturbed some of these people are. Is that they use? I'd seen where the government has actually used, like, sounds of, like, rabbits being killed and stuff like that. Like, when they have a compound surrounded, they want the people they'll like blare, like, really just disturbing sound. You know, they have these giant speakers and stuff. And again, you can go on YouTube and stuff and see this kind of stuff in action. So, what kind of a Yeah, what kind of a psychological effect is that? And that was stuff they were doing 30 years ago. I mean, what do you...
HG Wells, remember the time
now?
Machine?
Yep.
When they put on the sirens of to go underground, for nuclear warning.
Right,
and
exactly.
Everybody just went into a trance and just kind of started walking because it was just something they just did. Who's to say what's in our foods? You know, it could be nanites, anything that reacts to, our body, People are strangely sick now than they probably... You were sick in Thanksgiving.
From Thanksgiving through New Year.
I mean, that's probably very rare for you.
I am never sick. Yeah. I'm rarely... I don't think there's any year that I've worked that I've probably ever used up my sick days.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's little things, little hints there that, it pops up in people's minds. So, I mean, there are initiatives out there, people who are doing, non-GMO, projects and stuff. So if you do your research and you look for it, you can live that way. But they make it really uncomfortable, too, sometimes, because it's kind of expensive for some people to live a non-GMO-free life. But in the long run, does it help? We don't know. It's like that little dot you were saying. You look on the wall,
Right.
You're going to stare looking at it, and not live your life because you're so consumed with that little dot.
Here's what I've tried to do with it. I try to cut out bad stuff where I can, but you know what? I'm not going to make myself nuts with it.
Mm-hmm.
When I find stuff that's bad, I will try to cut it out where I can, but I'm not going to make myself crazy with. I'm not going to spend thousands of hours in a year reading ingredients on everything. And some people are good at that, and I'm not cutting on them if they do. That's great that you're paying attention to what you put into your body, but I can't. Mentally, I cannot handle.
Just like, I am not a fast food person, but yesterday was a fast food day. Mm-hmm. I had me a burrito and a Mountain Dew from Taco Bell, and then later they had the 10 nugget special at McDonald's for $1, so I went and I got me some chicken McNuggets. And I can handle chicken McNuggets, but other stuff from hamburgers and stuff make me ill.
Yeah.
So I went ahead and got some nuggets since they had them for $1 and then the Taco Bell. But other than that, I'm not a fast food person, so who knows? You always wonder what's in that grease or whatever they use to make things taste good. Or I'm like, this stuff really has good flavor and tastes good, but it's, when you look at it, if you're looking at it while you're eating it, it's kind of crappy.
Right.
If you don't look at it, then you can. But most people, shove things down their face and half taste it anyway. So, those people, especially fast food, watch people eat and they're just like, aren't you even tasting what you're shoving into your face?
It's funny you bring that up. People don't realize that a lot of petroleum-based products cannot just be thrown into the ground. They can't just be thrown into the oceans. There are actually treaties that say that you have to actually process it and put into some type of system that disposes of it. Well, there is no system like that to dispose of it. And that system that they've created and that they use is us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They put it in our body, all small dosages, small amounts. But over time, those dosages, like you said, compound and collect on things like piping,
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get calcification
right.
on piping. So the body's like that, too. So here you got these yellow number fives, number reds, and stuff. That's
right.
petroleum-based products. People don't realize. And once you take those petroleum-based products into your body does two things. It stores those things or it gets rid of it, flushes it out. So how does it flush it out? It flushes it out through the urine and through your fecal matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a legal way of getting rid of that stuff and putting it into the system.
Same thing with fluoride.
Okay.
Fluoride is a waste product of the aluminum industry. Actually, I believe a company that rhymes with Balcoa is the leading producer of sodium fluoride. And if you've ever seen any of the documentaries of how they put fluoride into the water, I mean, the guys, just for a small amount that they put in the water because it's good for your teeth. That's to be read with sarcasm. There's no statistical evidence of that.
Yeah.
These guys, even just for a little amount, these guys have to wear hazmat suits. and to put that stuff into the water.
Drinking and eating and all that fluoride every day. I don't have fluoride toothpaste anymore.
Nope.
Or mouthwash.
Nope.
I use
C. Yes.
Which is
awesome.
From Young Living essential oils. So I'm not trying to plug Young Living, but it's better to have a more natural source of things that you're putting into your mouth and into your system. Because even Tom's is a good brand of toothpaste. I use that or their deodorant.
Right now.
You know, heavy metal-based deodorants and all that, I'm trying to get away from those things, so I always try to check and see if, you know, something. And it's funny, since I've got away from aluminum-based deodorants and stopped using them, I don't smell as much. I don't smell my pits.
Yeah, I'm...
Terrible, you know.
No, I'm totally, because that, like, stuff you roll onto your underarms and stuff, that is a, you have a lot of pores there, and that stuff really gets into your body. And I'm totally with you. I now only use Thieves mouthwash. I have Thieves.
We'd like to thank our friends out in Langley for listening to our show today. And we're glad that you cut us off, because that just proves that you exist, and we're glad. So.
That's like putting an exclamation point in for us, because then people had a few seconds to think about the last things we were talking about.
Don't kill the messenger.
Yeah.
Kill the producers.
Yeah. Get away from fluoride and heavy metals that are put into our toothpaste and deodorants and soaps that we use.
Maybe there's a key word that as soon as we say it, turns up, disconnects Skype.
I probably mentioned about 10 of them this morning.
But
it appears that there's a problem.
My friend Melody told me she stopped using a lot of things with heavy metals and different things from the grocery store, and she's big like me, and she doesn't smell, you know. So there's something in our stuff that's making us stink. And it keeps us using the product. To keep from stinking, but if we don't use it, it makes it like your body gets.
Yeah.
What's the word?
Addicted.
Addicted to those products. So, go to natural stuff. You know, I'm almost ready to make my own soap. I know how to make lye soap. I used to make it years ago in Girl Scouts, and my grandmother used to make it for washing different things, but. I'm almost ready, because you just make it out of lard or any kind of oil. You can make it out of coconut oil or any kind of good oil. So we'll have to start going back to natural stuff. And in a way to get away from these GMOs and these heavy metals and all that is sustainable living and growing your own vegetables and goods and making your own products. And I know the government does not like that because it takes away from money. Even there's some communities here in the United States where it's against the law to have a backyard garden or some sort of plot to make your own food, you know?
Well, as soon as you have sustainable communities, you don't need other outside influences to control, you know, unless they come into your area. But if you don't need to go buy from this person or buy from that person or shop from here or take medication from there, that's a big threat. Big threat for people.
You're threatening the 1%'s livelihood.
Right. And there's no way they can police that stuff or keep people from doing it. So what they do is they pick one person here and there and maybe make a big show of it and put it out all over the propaganda media. So it's like, oh, the ATF is going around and they're breaking into everybody's houses that has that. And then they do that stuff once, but they can only catch 0.0001%.
They try to make example of those people, then they just blast it on the news so you don't do it.
Right.
You know, things that are banned in the United States are ridiculous. In some states, is collecting rainwater, cannabis, raw milk, and you have to have a license to fish.
Good.
Right.
I mean, what's the point of that, you know? These are natural things of the earth, you know? But, you know, there's a threat there because you start to affect other people's pocketbooks.
Yep.
You know, the big dog. I mean, really, how much do you really affect? But they don't want to take the chance.
Right.
They don't want to take the chance that people no longer want to drink their cemented version of milk.
Right.
fresh milk is so delicious. Every time I go to West Virginia, I drink fresh milk. Mind you, we do boil it out there, but it's so even hot. You put a little honey in it. Sometimes you don't even need anything sweet. Ah, just fresh milk straight from the cow, and butter straight made straight from the cow, or cream or cheese. I love it when I go to West Virginia to the community there, because I know to get some fresh milk, and it is the best stuff. It's like drinking a little bit of heaven. I wish I could get the tit of the cow and just drink.
Yeah.
But you
can't. I was going to say, do you wait till it's at least out of the cow, or do you just grab a teat and a straw? And
I was watching a hoarder yesterday. All right, and it was funny. And, you know, I was thinking about things, you know, what you would need in order to survive, like if there was a food ration and things that you should save, but you're not supposed to, technically, because there are laws on the books that technically,
right,
say you're only allowed to store 3 weeks' worth of food. Anything above that is called, there's a special name for it, which I don't know right off the top of my head. So, and this lady's throwing away this person's stuff, and they had all the sugar and all this coffee and flour and ramen noodles and peanut butter and all that stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this person is either ready for the apocalypse or whatever, but these things that don't go bad, generally. You know, sugar you can maybe get hard, but once you break it down, it's good. Coffee's another one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to store things, because the things that will be really popular when there's an apocalypse, when there's a war, whatever's going on,
chocolate.
Coffee, sugar, okay,
mm-hmm.
flour.
Right.
Because with flour, you can make breads. You can make
right.
food. You know, coffee, everybody's going to drink coffee. I don't care if you
right,
drink
right.
coffee. Right,
right. Water, beer.
Water, sure. mm-hmm.
Alcohol. Alcohol, ammunition, and weapons. Also,
yeah.
another thing, tools. Like,
tools.
Because, you know, you won't be able to go to the store and buy it, you know, if that scenario did happen.
Beans.
You wouldn't be able to go to the store and buy a hammer or a saw, which would become even more important. And so you would, you know, those are the kind of things that will be of, if
any
there was.
Any kind of dry goods, especially beans and stuff.
Well,
beans.
One of the things they listed was that number one thing that goes are the stores.
Right.
In a matter of 3 hours.
They'll clean out. Totally
yep, 3 hours,
out,
I think,
yeah.
is tops.
But right.
completely, all the shelves will be cleared. At that point, you're kind of on your own.
Right.
You know, unless you make alliances with people
right.
or you have something that someone
you
else has.
You have to start swapping services or...
Yeah. So, will we have these... Will these things happen? I really believe they will happen at one time or another at some point. It could be because of a natural disaster. It could be because we just decide that we're so stupid, we're going to push something.
Right.
You know? Because we are stupid. And I'm going to say it again. We're stupid and we play these war games, these mind games with people over lands that don't even belong to us. You
yep.
know, all lands should belong to everybody. But, you know, since corporations want to own things and control people and make sure that their product's being bought, they create all these things. But I guarantee you the system will collapse because every system that's come before us has collapsed.
Yep.
And every empire that's been here before us has disappeared or emerged into another type of system. And the United States is a republic, and it's not a democracy, so don't get confused by that.
Yes,
okay?
Yes, that is a big
right?
misconception people
right?
have.
Because, you know...
And to the republic.
And if you don't know what republic, the difference between democracy and republic is, then I encourage you to go find out, okay, because there is a huge difference.
Oh, right? massive. I don't want any part of being in a democracy.
No, democracy, you know, the republic...
A democracy says that 51% of the people tell 49% what to do.
Absolutely, that's not democracy.
Mm-mm.
And that shouldn't, you know, that's just.
But that
not,
is what a democracy
it
is.
It is, but I mean, but it shouldn't be.
Right.
You know, we get misled that democracy is this beautiful thing, and
right.
I'm not saying that it's not beautiful, but it's not done right. It's not done
right.
properly.
My favorite stupid saying, well, probably this is one of my top five stupid sayings of all time. Is I hear people say, "Well, we gotta go to the Middle East and to spread democracy." A, why would you want to spread democracy?
Mm-hmm.
B, how can you spread something that you don't have?
Right.
I would not, if I had democracy, I wouldn't want to spread it.
You're spreading the republic.
Right.
All you're doing is spreading the republic's ideals.
Yeah.
And if people just understand that you're spreading the Republic's ideals, I'm not against, I can't really go against people who are going there and taking orders, but, you know, when are they going to wake up and say, hey, you know what, am I getting $30,000 a year worth losing a leg, losing my mind,
right?
You know,
right.
Killing another human being because someone else is telling me to do it. And we get programmed and brainwashed to be this rah, rah, let's go fuck them up type mentality, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You know? And I'm sorry but for my language, but, you know, that's how I feel sometimes. You know, my dad was an ex-military guy. I was in the Army for a little bit, for a little stint. But you know what? I left because I couldn't agree with the values. You know,
right.
I wanted it for a certain reason to study, to go to school, and, you know, but I couldn't anymore. It was just too much. I can't
right.
stand there and just sit there and watch how these old men who have nothing better to freaking do, protect borders that don't really exist.
Right.
You know, they're there, but you don't see them. And you look across right. the street, there's a tree there. But there's a fictitious border there. This is our
right.
land. You cannot come in here or we will shoot you.
Right.
You know, look at North Korea and all the crap they're going, all they're doing over there, you know, isolating themselves from the world because the world doesn't want to help them. Well, they seem to be doing okay. I mean, sure, they're having their problems like everybody, like
right.
every republic and every system has. They have their issues and they have their things that are happening. But why do we have to fix everybody's problems? Maybe
right.
if these guys would just do what they need to do, go through what they have to go through, suffer what they... It's like a little kid. You know, you help them through everything.
Right.
You know,
they have
to
learn a little bit through experience. They have their own...
We might get radicals.
They may have their own karmic lessons they're trying to
work
out.
We might get terrorists.
Right.
We might get somebody come and bomb our school. We might get somebody come and blow down the Twin Towers. We still to today don't know who blew that thing down.
Yeah.
And does it matter?
Nope.
But somebody did, right? Because somebody had no respect for human life.
Right.
And the beliefs that, you know, that we can live free. If it was them or us, it doesn't matter. Somebody did it and it was wrong. But in their eyes, it wasn't wrong. Or was it? We don't know. We'll never know.
Right.
We'll never know if they go, well, gee, you know, I'm just going to prove a point. You know, ah, la, 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 and this and that. Oh, God. You know. But it happened. And now we've created this new system that puts everybody in fear, puts everybody in a check. You can't say anything. Our Constitution is woodwhacked, you know,
right.
because of the Patriot Act, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This
right.
supersedes our Constitution. They can step in whenever they want. That's why when you do Native American ceremony, it doesn't matter if you say, are you the law officials or whatever.
Right.
You know, you don't even have to say that anymore because, number one, the Patriot Act oversteps all that. Well, you might be a terrorist.
Right.
You know, so they come in here and they do what they want.
Right.
They're a bunch of little kids in these uniforms. They run around and they got nothing better to do. Because they got to make themselves a job, and they got to make themselves a paycheck, and they don't know how to do anything else but that, protecting us. From what? We need to protect ourselves from them.
Right.
Oh, goodness, yes.
You know, sorry for getting on a rant here, but, you know, I get fed up listening to this crap on TV. You know, I turn the channel on. Oh, yeah, well, you know, we got to protect our borders from... Let's cut all the Latin American guys' tongues out who don't want to learn in English. This is what they said in Arizona. They tried to pass legislation, and that pissed me the freak off. They
cut
wanted to, yeah,
tongue?
They wanted to cut their tongues off. They wanted to cut their tongues if they weren't wanting to learn English. You're creating this caste system. You're trying to. I don't know who's living down there, man. I don't know who's living in Arizona. They must be from another planet or something, man. Because it blows my mind.
Relatives who's in Arizona, but I know they're not like that.
But again, the same way, it's the same with everywhere. That's the 1% of people in Arizona who believe that. It's just that's what gets put on the news.
That's what gets passed in bill and legislation. You know, the sheriff comes in here
like
and he's able to do whatever the hell he wants because the people want it.
But do the people want it?
No, the people don't want it.
Right.
It's that small group.
Right.
Mark, it's that small group that
small
controls.
Group exactly.
And the problem
control.
Is we let that damn small group do everything. Because we're, I don't want to say we're lazy. I don't know what it is about us, but we just let this little small group take advantage of the mass. It's the democracy system. You know, it's what you said. It's that 51%, man, tells the other part that they can't do that.
Right.
And I'll tell you, that's going to bring us down a really bad road.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the politicians see it, and they're looking at it right now, and they're going, you know, we're doing some really stupid shit right now. We're doing some really crazy stuff, and we're getting away with it. But how long are we going to get away with it? Because, you know, eventually... Our generation, the group that we're in, we're tolerant. You know, we tolerate a lot of crap.
Right.
We put up with a lot of stuff, and we have a lot of faith in the system. But I'll tell you right now, the kids coming up
the
today.
The Pluto and Scorpio generation is not going to roll that way.
No.
And you're already seeing it. They're already – I have this discussion with a lot of people where they say, a lot of the younger people have a bad work ethic, and a lot of them, you know, don't chip in on things in the workplace like they should and stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, it may appear that way from the outside and whatnot, but to me, that the Pluto and Scorpio generation is going to, Scorpio's about changing taboos and changing standards and norms. It's not that they're lazy, and it's not that, it's just that they the people now in their, the younger kids and the people in their 20s and stuff, they get it spiritually a lot more than, our generation, it took us a long time to figure shit out.
Yeah.
Because we still had that, you know, our parents were born in the 30s or 40s or 50s. Some of them lived through, you know, part of the Depression and, you know, still had kind of that old school mindset. And I was, you know, that was what they were supposed to do. And that helped them learn the lessons they needed to. But the younger kids now are not going to buy into the crap systems that we've allowed to grow and even nurtured by. They're not going to, and it's not that they don't care about anything or don't give a crap. They're not going to feed into our stupid system, which we've allowed to go on forever. Right.
They don't fit. They tried to fit, and they don't fit.
And they're going to create their own culture in the business workplace and their own business standards. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't fit in with ours, but by God, I think theirs is going to be better because ours is broken and not going to get fixed.
and the thing is, what I'm noticing, too, is a lot of younger people running for office in different parts of the country.
Yes, and winning.
And winning. Because they're bringing fresh ideas. They're bringing fresh, you know, motivation. And you get tired of seeing an 80-year-old dude,
Good old boys network.
You know, you see this guy who's, like, 90 years old running. You know, God bless his soul. You know, he may have done
a
good job.
He's out of touch.
But, you know, there's a part of him that doesn't relate to what's going on in the world.
Right.
You know, he's back in his own place. Like, we all are in this. We're all going to be in that point. What was relevant to us is not going to be relevant to people who are coming next.
Right. And you know who I hope runs for president, and I'm going to vote for him if he does. I'm not a political person, nor do I try to take sides. But the only person that I see that's worthy of my vote that's coming up is Rand Paul. Yeah, because he's an independent. And that's who will probably get my vote. And I know I'll probably have emails or someone will say something or other, and I'll have to delete their comment off of my Facebook page. But,
you know, he's the one.
But I don't know. To me, I've been watching him for a while now, and I hate to say some people. I vote my conscience, and I try to read up both sides before I do any voting or any politicking or anything like that. But,
And he's having a hard time. His father had a hard time because he's not in the lineage.
Mm-hmm.
He's not in the family lineage of presidency.
Mm-hmm.
If you
and
go back and study any lineage,
a lot of good stuff to say. A lot of good things he wants to do.
Yeah.
And he's I think he was a Republican or something. And I know.
You decide if I agree with Katie. That's the one person I would vote for. So. You guys decide if you want to hear the real history of all this or not.
Yeah, and I've been a registered Republican since I was 18, since I began voting.
You know,
but
I'm a registered American.
Yeah, I don't always vote Republican, I'll say that.
South and North.
I never vote. In fact, I rarely ever vote for either of the two major parties. But
sometimes
he
I
is the one person who
Alfred.
I would lean towards. I've never voted for a president that's won. And I
voted for
in.
Alfred E. Newman several times.
And you know what? I was one of those people who really bought into the Obama, you know, let's make a change. Did he make a change? Probably. Changes that maybe I won't see. You know, I can't say that he didn't, but there's some things he can't. So I have to take my chances and my risk.
Andy Garcia,
you know,
for president.
Well, you know, maybe in Peru. But not here. I can't be president here.
Oh,
because
no,
I wasn't born here.
Well, you came over when you were 4.
Doesn't matter.
That's,
you know,
wrong with our system, too. That's something that's wrong with
it. Well, you know, the system's there for a reason, for now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want Arnold Schwarzenegger in the country.
No, we don't.
Right. So I'm not right. So I'm not. even though I don't totally agree with that law, I'm not running to get that one overturned right at the moment.
You know, there are some qualified people who are from other countries who are in office. I agree, but there's certain things that should be American, that should be of America. You know, even though we're all from America, and I'm a foreigner, I'm an immigrant here saying this, but I think some things just should be the process of families merging. My family with Susie's family, my kids should have the opportunity to be present, or his kids, or his great-great-grandkids, because of that merging. Not taking away anything from anybody else, French, Spanish, Italian, they'd be wonderful leaders. But there's something for me, historically, about being a president in this country that should be of that blood, you know, that mixing.
And I hope we can get one sometime that's not a puppet to the system, you know, that someone's not pulling a string, his or her strings, because... You know.
And if you know anything, and if you don't know anything about president, the presidential lineage, I invite you to go check out the presidential lineages and how they all connect and how they're all connected and how they are all intertwined. Well, not that they're all Masons, but they're all related somehow in some degree or another. Even if there was a break from the branch, there's always a relative relationship between. There's no accident that Obama was related to Bill Cheney because of his mother's side of the family.
Bloodlines, okay?
I'm talking about bloodlines. There is this bloodlines of presidency in our country.
Yes.
The monarchy has never really let go of the U.S. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Ooh, I just got a chill, like someone walked on my grave.
Right. Well, I'm just going to leave it at that. The monarchy has never really left. Okay.
You're absolutely correct on all that.
Yes. Okay. I've been looking at it. I've read about it. And I keep abreast of what's going on.
Now you know why we fight everybody else's wars.
Okay, I'm gonna rant for 2 minutes on the Rand Paul thing, and I'm gonna cut me off at 2 minutes, and then I'm gonna, because I can't hardly, I almost don't vibrate with this frequency anymore.
You want a little break real quick so
you
can catch your breath?
Yeah.
Okay. You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self. Welcome back to Lunchtime Wisdom with Mark, Katie, and Iggy on the Insights Radio Network. And we're going to make a change here, and Mark's going to do a little rant.
Okay.
2 minutes with Mark.
Okay.
Wham, bam,
so it is now exactly 12:40 p.m. I will stop at 12:42 because I could go on for 7,000 lifetimes on this. Okay. I've never voted for a president that's won. I'm proud of that fact. I do not vote unless I think there's 1% of the two major parties that are good people. I have voted for a couple Democrats and a couple Republicans here and there. I think I am probably currently registered Republican, but I almost always vote independent. I've never voted for a Republican for president. So, I was a huge supporter of Ron Paul. I voted for him every year that he ran. He was an independent, tried to get in with the Republican thugs, constantly. They treated him the same way the mainstream Democrats treated Dennis Kucinich, who I think Dennis Kucinich was the best Democratic presidential candidate of the last 3 decades, at least. In my lifetime, since I've been paying attention. But the Democrats did the same thing to Kucinich that the Republicans did to Ron Paul. They would get him up there. They would let him talk because they both had some good ideas. I don't agree with all of Kucinich's ideas, but overall, he had a lot of good ones. But he would do the same thing. Once he got up to the nominations and to the conventions, they would tell him to shut up, get to the back of the stage, not let him speak in the debates, and then they would try and take all their followers and say, hey, we gave your boy a chance. Now you've got to shut up and vote with who we say is the candidate. You got to support the party. And that is BS because they never really gave those guys a chance. So I think a Ron Paul, Dennis Kucinich tandem would have been, I think they'd have won the election because they would have captured all the independent voters. and all the people who were disgruntled from both parties. I think they'd won in the landslide and would have been the best president, vice president, regardless of who was president and who was vice president ever. So Ron Paul started the Tea Party, not this other, there's some other guy that they say, there's some other guy they give credit to. Ron Paul started it with a donation on the anniversary of the Tea Party. Once the Tea Party started gaining status, it was then been over by some other people that were on the... It was taken over by some other people that were the Sarah Palins and the Michelle Bachmans, mm-hmm. and some of these other people who are nothing more than plants by the mainstream Republicans to... I've probably gone over 2 minutes already, haven't I?
Okay.
who are part of the mainstream Republican Party. So the Tea Party that has now been demonized and stuff is not even the Tea Party. It is a bunch of mainstream Republicans who jumped in and circumvented the real Tea Party when it was getting started. So these people who get up now and now...
I don't like what it's become.
Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, those guys were real official Tea Party people.
I loved
people.
The Tea Party when it first started, but now
right.
I can't stand it.
And I don't like it now either, and it's because it's not what it was. It was infiltrated by the mainstream Republicans trying to derail it because they had too much momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... I am a staunch Ron Paul supporter. That being said, I do not like the way that stuff went down. For those of you who weren't, I'll give you a 5 second. Ron Paul should have run as independent in the last mm-hmm. election. As they got to the end, there was so much weird stuff that has never been explained, but Ron Paul just backed out for the second election in a row, he was the last remaining Republican in the field who did not get the nomination, and then the previous time he jumped in and ran as an independent, or the two times beforehand. But I think he kind of took a bullet for his son mm-hmm. and bailed out, even though everyone wanted him to run as independent in the last election. And then Rand Paul came and gave his support for Romney, and that never sat well with me. But I think it was done because Ron wanted his son. Ron saw that to really win the election, you had to go in and circumvent the Republic. You had to go do it through the Republican Party platform because they've got too many laws passed to where an independent cannot be elected president.
Mm-hmm.
The odds are stacked against any third-party person. So... I don't know what Jesse Benton, who was Ron Paul's campaign advisor, was doing. He kind of did a bunch of shady shit and then disappeared, and no one's ever explained that, so the whole thing does not sit with me. I do not like Rand in the way that I liked his father, but he is the only person for either of the two parties that I would vote for president. But I do not totally trust him. Because he's done some things. So I don't really know if he's been infiltrated. I don't know. Maybe they made a death threat against Ron. I don't know what happened. But I would. Rand is the only person right now for either of the two major parties.
Mm-hmm.
I know Bernie Sanders, as an independent, has some backing. But again, if he tries to run as an independent, the two big parties will screw him.
Mm-hmm.
So
the White House is going to be a big battle for the White House this time around. Not that it's never before, but this one is going to be in epic proportions. They're going to spend more money than they've never spent in their entire life.
They will not get a penny from me. I will not.
Krispy Kreme, Kringle, whoever it is. And Romney, Lord Jesus,
if
on Republican side.
If Jeb Bush runs for president, I may set myself on fire on YouTube.
Yeah.
There's another Bush Christy in there. I think Christie's already destroyed himself. I think he's gone back and forth on too many things. I think he's now... He was looking good a few years ago. I think he's now alienated both parties and the independents.
Yeah, he
reminds me of McCain too much. He just... God bless John McCain for his political... Mm-hmm. for his military service,
mm-hmm.
and you know, thank you. But, you know, you can't trust John McCain because that dude's opinion, it changes every time the freaking wind blows.
It does.
I would more likely trust somebody who I fundamentally disagree with everything they say than somebody whose opinion changes every 5 seconds. Because then I'm just thinking, you know, wolf in sheep's clothing at that point.
Okay.
So that was
well,
way
closing
more
comments.
Than 2 minutes.
Katie?
Never play with deflated
balls. Mark?
I would try to keep that my... I would try to write... I can't even talk anymore. See,
okay.
I get in
there.
I don't even vibrate with, like, the general political stuff. And it's hard to, like, to tap into this old energy that I'm not comfortable with anymore.
Well, what we ask you to do is just go out and make your own opinions about what you think and how you see the world, because we're just giving you pieces and parts of what how we interact and how we feel, what we see. It doesn't make it right or wrong. It just is. So we learned a lot today about deflated balls, kids of the future, politics of the future, sports. And how do they all come together? Well, they all come together because they're part of the human spirit. You know, there's a fight, there's a battle, and there's this interaction between things on the planet, humans, land.
Balls, GMO food, and politics.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, what else can we talk about? Balls, GMO, and politics.
They all kind of go together. They
all do kind of go together.
You are not disconnected. You're not apart from the other. Even if you don't like sports, you're connected to sports. Because if your landlord, he takes his money and he bets on a team and loses, then he loses his house, well, you're affected through the government.
Right.
And then he's not going to eat well for the next few days because he's going to go to McDonald's and eat GMO-fied food. I'm not saying the GMOs are there, but you get the point.
Right.
You get the gist. We are all connected to everything that we talk about, everything that we associate.
Even if you don't follow politics, it still has an influence.
It's still there because you still drive on the right side of the road here in America, and if you don't, then, you know,
you're going to
hit somebody. You know, so you do follow politics. You do part of the system. You are part of the system that you've helped create, and so have your ancestors. Don't mean to depress you. Go out there and have fun. Go out there and change the world. Just do something different.
Celebrate life.
Be nice to one another. Love each other. You know, Katie said celebrate life. I agree with her. You know, there's a lot of good things apart from the things we talked about today. You know, go to Chuck E. Cheese and have fun. Get an ice cream cone.
Game, some skee
ball. Just be human. Be yourself. Be fun. And with that, we will see you here on Friday on Mark the Rabbit Hole, and then later on in the evening, Mud Toe at midnight, and then back here on Monday. Talk to you guys soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.